I wouldn't break up all the fellowship, but it's already 25 till, so. And they're going to ring me out of here at 11 either way, so might as well get started. We're in 1 Peter, and we will begin with chapter 2 this morning. 1 Peter chapter 2. He begins, the first word in chapter 2, verse 1 is wherefore, or maybe your translation says therefore. So we always look back and see why he's about to say what he's going to say. We talked about last week that we are Christians. We have purified our souls in obeying the truth. We have been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God. We talked about the word of God never changes. It always makes the same thing, which is a Christian. Well, what we really need to see is he said, since we have purified our souls in obeying the truth, we have come to a place of unfeigned love of the brethren. Love that is not hypocritical. Love that is pure and sincere. A love that is real. He says, let us love one another fervently with a pure heart. So as New Testament Christians, Peter is calling us together and telling us that we need to have a good, healthy relationship. And sometimes that is hard, because as people, it's not always easy to get along. Anybody ever have any family squabbles? Nobody raise your hand, right? Bunch of liars. Everybody has family squabbles. We all have issues. We all have different personalities, and it's sometimes life is just difficult. And Peter understood that. And that's why he says, wherefore, because you are Christians, because you have been called to love each other without hypocrisy that is real, because you're supposed to love each other fervently, he said, there's some things you got to lay aside. And that word laying aside comes from an idea of taking off clothing. If you get home from church, the first thing I'm going to do is lay aside this tie, probably as soon as I walk out the doors. And I don't like a tie. But that's where the word comes from. It's to take something off, to lay it aside, to get rid of it. He says you need to lay aside as Christians malice. Malice. What's malice mean? Ill will. You ever have ill will towards someone? All of us, if we're completely honest, at one point in time in our lives, we have had ill will towards someone else. Maybe that someone has upset us. Maybe they've said something bad about us. Maybe they were just very rude to us. And sometimes we have those ill feelings. Malice could mean a desire to injure. And you say, well, I've never really wanted just to hurt someone. Well, if we was probably honest, we probably all have probably wanted to even do that, hadn't we? If we're really honest. And he says, we've got to get rid of that. We've got to take that off, and we've got to be better than that. You see, all of these things that he's talking about that we've got to get rid of, if we do those things, it makes it impossible to do what 1 Peter 1:22 and 23 says. We can't be a born-again Christian. We can't love one another fervently with a pure heart if we have malice toward each other. We can't do it. It's impossible. So he says, you've got to take that off. He says, you've got to lay aside malice. You've got to lay aside guile. Guile would, maybe your translation says deceit. And that's what guile is. It is deceit. It is trickery. It is to catch with bait. One translation or one definition said it's a wile. A wiles of the devil, you guys remember that? We got to be careful of that wily coyote that always was setting a trap for the roadrunner and trying to get him. And sometimes as people, don't we do that? Don't we try to set people up that maybe we have ill will towards? Maybe that we don't like a situation that has happened. And are we ever deceitful? Yeah, sometimes. Peter says we've got to lay it aside. He says we've got to lay aside hypocrisies. The word hypocrisy means acting as a stage player. Do you think there's very many things that hurts the church more than being hypocritical? Think about that for a minute. There's not a whole lot of things that hurts the church more than us being hypocritical. Because you see, everybody around us sees what we do. Everybody around us sees how we act, and they hear what we say, and maybe they see us Sunday in our suit coat and our tie, and if we're hypocritical, what message are we sending them? Well, you know the answer to that, right? Peter says we've got to lay that aside. He says we've got to lay aside envy. Envy means to be jealous, or it means that I want to have something that you have. You know, if we run around this assembly, we all have different things, right? Yeah, some of you got a great head full of hair. No, I don't have that. You know, I can grow a beard, don't some of you can't do that. It's just we all can do different things, right? We all have different worldly possessions. We all have different intelligence levels and degrees or whatever it may be. We have different, but it doesn't matter. I am not supposed to envy you, and you're not supposed to envy me. In fact, Paul would say in Romans chapter 12, when there's honor to be had, I prefer it to be given to you than to me. I should never want something that you have. I should be happy that you have what you have. But sometimes as people, that's a little bit difficult, isn't it? Sometimes as people, that's not something that we just, you know, just take off when we become a Christian and we never put it back on. I was reading one commentary, and the guy said that this needs to be such a dramatic thing that once you become a Christian, you throw these away and you never deal with them again. That is unrealistic, isn't it? You know, I understand that's what God expects of me, but I'm not a perfect person. And sometimes I struggle with things, and there's things in my life that I've struggled with my whole life, and you too. We don't just take one day and get rid of something and never pick it up again. If you've used filthy language for 40 years and you become a Christian, you know what? Odds are you're not going to ever say one of those words again. Odds are you will, right? Because that's what you've done. That's what you've been. And it is a lifelong process of continuing to work on these things to lay them aside. Because sin always likes to rear its ugly head. And Satan knows exactly when to get us, and he will tempt us with these things. And we've got to be so careful. He says the last one, we've got to lay aside evil speaking, defamation, backbiting, being slanderous, subtlety. The Bible says Satan was subtle. And it means he was one who spoke evil against another. That he would defame another, but we don't do that, right, church? We don't ever talk about anybody else, do we? We do, don't we? And that's unfortunate. I said we do because I catch myself too. I'm not going to stand up here and pretend to be perfect because I'm not. You see, Peter says we've got to lay aside those things. When we became a Christian, those of you that have been baptized into Christ, Galatians 3, verse 27, what have we done? We put on Christ. In order to put on Christ, you're supposed to take off that garment of sin, and you bury that garment of sin in that water, and you are immersed there into Christ. You put Him on. You clothe yourself with Him. You know, the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 13, verse 14, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. He says, get rid of all of these things that you've got in your life. And in order for me to get rid of those things, the first thing I've got to do is I've got to recognize, hey, maybe I've got a problem with the envy thing. Maybe I don't have ill will towards somebody else, but maybe I've got a problem with the envy thing and I've got to work on that. Or maybe I've got a problem with being deceitful from time to time, and maybe I really need to work on that. You see, the first thing I've got to do is recognize it. I've got to recognize that whatever area in my life that I've got a problem with, and I've got to work on that. I've got to own up to it. God already knows it. I can't deceive Him. I might be able to deceive you. I can't deceive Him. So the first thing I've got to do is I've got to own up to it. And then I've got to work on, for the rest of my life, keeping that ugly part of my being buried. I've got to lay it aside. I've got to put on Jesus. How do I continue to put on Jesus? I understand Galatians 3:27 is talking about the initial act in baptism, but Romans chapter 13, verse 14, he's talking to Christians. How do I do that? You guys can talk. I promise I won't bite. As a Christian, how do I continue to put on Christ? Somebody help me out. Put his word in my heart every day. Talk to him in prayer. Is there anything wrong with, if you have a problem with envy, talking to God about it? Is there anything wrong with maybe getting a concordance out and looking up every time that the envy is talked about and you work on that? And or maybe it's fear that you've got a problem with. And Don, give us some good solutions to that, right? Some things that we can really look at in our lives. As Christians, we need to continue to put on Christ every day and make no provision for the flesh. Don't put ourselves in situations that's going to tempt us to have these sinful behaviors that we struggle with. And we do that only by knowing what he would have us to do. And we have to do that every day. He says, verse 2, and it goes just like back to what Chris said. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. As newborn babes. I heard a story about a lady that became a Christian the other day. She's about 60 years old. And someone said something about her being a new convert, and she got very defensive. I'm not a new convert. You were just baptized yesterday. You're a babe in Christ. You're a babe in Christ. You just became a Christian. He is going back to 1 Peter 1, verse 23. We're born again. Yes, we may be older when we're born again, but at the point of that new birth, we are a babe in Christ. We are a newborn babe in Christ. And if we are going to grow like we need to grow, there's some things we need to understand. There's some things that as a church we need to understand. If we're going to bring all of us together to the spiritual maturity that we need to be, we need to understand that there's different levels of that. He says as newborn babes, we need to desire. We need to desire. You ever, those of you that have had a baby, and in the Bible this is what all of this is applying back to, is a mother that's got a child. Does that baby know where the milk is? Does the baby know how to get the milk? Does the baby desire the milk? Does anybody have to force that baby to eat? Now that baby lets you know when he's ready or she's ready to eat, right? And they'll scream and cry until they get to eat. As Christians, God is telling us we need to be like that baby. That baby knows where the milk is. That baby knows how to get the milk. That baby knows that he or she needs that milk on a regular basis, and nobody has to force them or to get up and preach a sermon and say, you got to study your Bible. Nobody has to do that to a baby. And God here through inspiration knows that we understand that. And he says as Christians, we need to be like that baby. We need to have that same desire. We need to know that the only way that we're going to ever overcome the world and continue to put on Christ is to get in this book, into the Word of God, and not just the Word of God. He says the sincere. Or maybe if you've got the American Standard, it's going to say the Word without guile. It's not deceitful. There's nothing added to it. It is the pure Word of God. Pure. And that's the only way we will ever grow. I want you to take a baby. When a baby is born, anybody ever took them home from the hospital and cooked a ribeye steak and cut it up and throwed it on their plate? Do we do that? That's silly, right? But we don't do that. Why? Because we know what that baby needs. And we'll start that baby on milk until that baby won't sleep, and then we'll put a little cereal in that bottle, right? And then that baby maybe will sleep better, and then maybe as that baby grows, you'll graduate up to maybe a little bit of applesauce, and you continually to feed that baby what they need all the way till you get that child grown. As a New Testament Christian, it's no different. And God is putting this in language we can easily understand. As a Christian, when you become a Christian, you don't start in the book of Revelation. you don't go over to Ezekiel and you don't start studying some of those prophecies that are very, very difficult. That's not where you start. You start at the most basic of things. Because if you don't, what happens? You get confused. You can't handle it. You get choked. In a figurative way, we've got to start these people where they need to be. Some of those elementary principles that are found in Hebrews chapter 6, 1 and 2. Now, the writer of Hebrews was fussing on the people a little bit. You guys should have graduated on up to meat, but you're still at the place of milk. And that's still true today. But you see, the point is, we've got to understand that as Christians, if we're going to grow, we have to start at the right place and we need to work our way up. You're not commanded to know everything in the first year. I've been a Christian for a long time, and I still don't know everything, by nowhere even close. But it is a lifelong process of building upon what you know and of what you can do in this life. And he goes on to say in verse 3, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. When that baby, go back to that illustration, when that baby finds that mother's milk, that baby knows it's good, right? And that baby knows it provides everything that that baby needs. And so the baby comes back to it over and over again. As Christians, have we tasted that the Lord is gracious? Oh, I hope so. The Lord is good. And I know He's good. And I know what He's done for me and what He continues to do for me every day. And I know every bit of that because what's in here, right? And I know where to come back to get those things in my life that's going to sustain me, that's going to help me to get to where it is I need to be. You know, this is God's plan of salvation. I've heard a lot of preachers say it's His GPS, right? GPS, those initials. My roadmap to heaven is in this book that's in my hands. And I know that's where the grace of God is found and the mercy of God and everything that I need to know that pertains to life and salvation. And Peter's going to say that a little bit later, is found right here. And I've tasted of that. And I know where it's at. Should I ever neglect it? That baby never does. The baby knows where it's at. And you know, the Bible tells us over and over again, doesn't Jesus say, unless you be converted and become like little children, you're not going to go to heaven? I can go back to the most basic of elementary principles and understand that valuable lesson and apply it to my life. And unless I become like that little baby, I'm not gonna grow. I'm not gonna mature. I'm not gonna learn and to become everything that God would have me to be unless I do those very things. Yes, sir. Exactly. And that goes exactly back to raising children. You know, when I had my children and they were down here, I didn't hold them to the level that I hold them now that they're not as big as me, but they're grown. But again, their accountability kept going with age, kept going with maturity. And it even keeps going not necessarily with age, but with what we know as far as their abilities. And that's what God does with us. And that's why we have got to build upon those things. And as we build upon, we have to understand, just like Don says, as we build, that accountability with God builds too. I've said this in class not long ago. We won't go into the next because it's going to be a different thought. But I've said we live in a time in a society today that it is easier to feed upon the Word of God than it has ever been in the past. By far. And brethren, we need to understand that. Because along with that becomes greater accountability. I told you I can pull out my phone and tell you what any Greek or Hebrew word in the Bible means. Did people have that 50 years ago? I can get on my phone and I can watch GBN lessons. I can get on my phone and I could watch what I said this morning. I definitely don't want to do that. But I could, couldn't I? I can watch people preach lessons on the other side of the world, and I've got to realize that God expects me to feed on that. I've got to realize and I've got to take accountability to myself that I've got to do that. And we all have to understand that we have to do that. I appreciate your attention this morning. Verse 4 is going to talk about the building of God, the spiritual house of God, and built upon that living stone. And we'll start on that next week. If you would bow with me, and then we'll be dismissed.